This time, I would invite you to turn in your maroon booklet on either side of your bench to Lord's Day number 8. At our last service, I commented that there were not many more Lord's Days that had more cross references throughout the three forms: the Belgic Confession, the Canons of Dort, and so forth, and Lord's Day 7. Well, as we come to Lord's Day number 8, it's almost the opposite case. I mean, there are some with fewer, but in this case, it just references the articles in the Belgic Confession regarding the Trinity and how God has revealed Himself. We'll read on page 23, questions and answers 24 and 25. I'll read the questions and we'll read together responsively the answers. Lord's Day 8, how are these articles divided? Into three parts. The first is of God the Father and our creation. The second of God the Son and our redemption. The third of God the Holy Spirit and our sanctification. Since there is but one divine being, why do you speak of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Because God has so revealed Himself in His Word that these three distinct persons are the one true and eternal God. So the teaching here is what we refer to as the doctrine of the Trinity. And why do we believe that that's a biblical doctrine? You know, and the answer is because, well, that's how we read and discover that God has revealed Himself in His Word. I mean, there's no question. We hear these affirmations. How many gods are there? There's only one God. In the Shema in Deuteronomy chapter 6. The Lord your God, our God, the Lord is one. And the prophet Isaiah especially comes to mind. It's the same thing. I am the Lord God and there is no other. I'm the one who declares the end and the beginning and everything in between. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, we know that there are no other gods but one, Paul says. And so that is biblical teaching. We can say there's only one God without hesitation or reservation. But then we read in the Scriptures and we read that this one God has revealed Himself as three distinct persons. We hear reference to the Father. The baptism of Jesus is probably one of the best examples. Jesus, the incarnate Son of God, is being baptized, right? He's standing on the edge of the River Jordan. The Holy Spirit descends in the form of a dove, right? And this voice speaks from heaven. This is my well-beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. And our understanding of this teaching is an endeavor to say as much and to speak as far as we can by what the Scriptures say, and not to go further. And we have the same thing with the person of Christ. We say that Christ is true God and true man. So He has one person with two natures. Why do we say that? Well, because that's what we find revealed in Scripture. And part of the history of the church, in fact, the references in the back page of your bulletin where it talks about the doctrine of the Trinity and then the biblical data that goes into summarizing that, basically says, well, this is what the church has come to believe. If we say less than this, then it opens the door to that heresy. If we say more than that, then we're confusing, true human nature with divinity. For instance, if we say that Jesus is a mixture of deity and humanity, then He's no longer truly man, and He's no longer truly God. He's some third thing. And so the church fathers say, no, the two natures are together, they're inseparable, but they remain distinct from one another. And of course, it just has to be that way. And of course, as we talk about, you may have heard it as we were doing the congregational prayer, that we have the same spirit, that we have the same love that was in Christ. Is that really true? Well, in as much as the Holy Spirit indwells us as His people, it better be true. Because it is that which enables us to love as He loved. It's that which is, it becomes that which drives us to devotion and service and faithfulness to Him. And just one further note, I love the way it's stated, the last part of bottom paragraph, as it were, on the back page. The doctrine of the Trinity has always been affirmed and maintained by the true church since the time of the apostles to this very day. And then against the Jews, against the Mohammedans, against, you know, all of the different religions and heretics throughout the history. And then the last sentence, therefore, in this point, we do willingly receive the three creeds, namely the apostles, the creeds of Nicaea, the Nicene Creed, and Athanasius, likewise, which are conformable thereunto. And so it's a remarkable thing that we can sit here today and say, no, we believe exactly what the church has always believed. That's part of the Holy Catholic Church is, and the reason that is so is because we elevate and receive as authoritative the written scriptures, the Word of God.